I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Alleluia, alleluia, come good people now give ear. Tidings wondrous, all mankind today shall hear. Over valley, over mountain, let the joyful news be spread. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen from the dead, He's risen from the dead. He is risen, He is risen, He hath rent His bonds in twain. We like Him shall be death's prison, we like Him shall rise again. Lord, all glorious, Lord, victorious, Thou hast come mankind to save.
Thank you, choir. Yes, Christ is risen from the grave, providing for our salvation and for our victory over sin and death and the grave. Hallelujah. Welcome to this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced and sponsored by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry, now in our 55th year of proclaiming living hope to the peoples of the world. Last week, here on The Voice of Hope, I shared the introduction to the Old Testament book of Joel. If you missed that, you could go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and catch up on what you missed. It will help you better understand this important Old Testament book. On today's program, we'll be getting into the text of Joel itself, the first 12 verses of chapter 1. So if you have your Bible handy, you can open to Joel chapter 1 or open the app on your phone so you can follow when I read the scriptures. I'm guessing that the book of Joel is a book of the Bible you haven't heard much teaching from. So I hope you'll be able to join me for this study over the next several weeks. Let's get started. Life is full of dangers. We know that. And when there are dangers, you and I usually appreciate being forewarned about those dangers. Some dangers we face are obvious, and there's no need for a warning. I really don't need a warning sign at the edge of a cliff. I know enough to stay well back from the edge. And I don't need the warning on my stepladder that reads, "Don't stand on the top step." But some dangers are hidden, and without proper warning, you and I could be injured or even killed. And so when we see a warning sign, or we read a warning label on a product, we have a choice to make. We either heed the warning, or we decide to ignore it. But if we ignore it, those who posted the warning aren't then responsible for the results of our choice. Now, most of us understand how warnings work in the physical world. We know that if we don't respect or heed the warning, we could end up paying a very high price. But somehow, when it comes to the realm of spiritual things, we think we can ignore the warnings, or perhaps we think they don't apply to us. You know, that's a conclusion that can have tragic consequences. As followers of Jesus, you and I believe the Holy Scriptures are our guide for living. Its pages are filled with so many promises of blessing to those who are faithful and obedient. But then there are also many promises of destruction and suffering to those who disobey God's word. For the ancient nation of Israel, a synopsis of the law was given in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. It outlines both the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. Moses gave the people this word from God just prior to his death and before their entrance into the promised land. Now, like us, the ancient people of God were prone to forgetfulness. Their history was a cycle of ups and downs, economically and spiritually. And into one such of these downturns, God sent the prophet Joel with a message of warning. Joel's message was unique to Israel's experience in history, but as we look at it, we can definitely see what happens to those who fail to listen to God's warnings. The primary message of Joel's prophecy centers around the day of the Lord. The usage of this phrase shows up in other Old Testament scriptures, but Joel is the one who develops it most fully, both in the near future and in the ultimate fulfillment in the distant future. And so for the next several weeks, we'll be looking together into the book of Joel so we can be adequately prepared for the day of the Lord. Today, we'll be looking together at the first 12 verses of chapter 1, and I've titled my teaching, A Divine Warning. So I invite you to follow along as I read the text from Joel chapter 1 and verses 1 through 12. That's Joel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And here is the word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. In this text, we see several aspects of the divine warning Joel gives to the people of Judah. And though the circumstances are unique, the principles that are taught here are applicable to you and me today. The first aspect of the divine warning is the call to listen. So Joel begins with these words, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land." The verb translated as hear is shema. In the Hebrew language, it describes both the mental activity of hearing as well as its effects. In other words, the expectation for the person who hears is to obey. In fact, even today, religious Jews refer to the prayer in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 as the Shema, because it begins with this word, hear. The verb translated as listen can be rendered as to give ear, or that is to give due consideration to someone or something, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1. The verbs are used here synonymously to call the people of Judah to attention. So this double call to listen implies that the subject is very important. Now, in our Western way of thinking, listening involves a mental activity. That mindset comes to us from the influence of the Greek culture and its emphasis on knowledge. But in Hebrew, the word shema is often translated into English as obedience. Let me give you just one example. Then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." Shema. That's Exodus 24:7. Notice that Joel makes a special appeal to the older men first. Why do you think he did that? Well, because older people, because of their long years of experience, are considered the most qualified to be judges. They have observed the consequences that result from certain choices. They know what choices should be encouraged, and they know what choices should be discouraged. Their experiences have taught them the value of paying close attention when someone speaks, and especially when God speaks. So the Lord, through Joel, asks the older men if they have ever seen anything like the devastation that is produced by this locust plague that is coming. If there had been anything like this before in their history, they would have known about it, because the story would have been passed down from generation to generation. Now, once we get into the details of the locust invasion, we'll see that an event like this would not soon be forgotten. And so this coming locust invasion that Joel is prophesying would be unprecedented. Now remember, when the Hebrew speaks of hearing, that includes action and obedience. So how were these elders to obey? Joel said to them, "Tell your children about it and let them tell their children and their children to the next generation." So this event was not to be forgotten. It was to be a continuing reminder of the importance of listening to God. Today, the call comes to you and me to listen to the word of the Lord too, not just to hear it with our ears, but to obey what is commanded. We also need to listen to the words of the elders, those among us who have more experience. Today, older people are often scorned. They're often pushed aside. They're accused of being out of touch with new ways of thinking and living. And it happens even in the church. Sadly, we are suffering the results of that ill-advised behavior. And then we need to pass on the faith to our children and our grandchildren and beyond. Current research tells us that nearly two-thirds of 18 to 29-year-olds in the United States who grew up in the church have withdrawn from church involvement as an adult. Could some of that rejection be a result of the failure of us older believers to truly live out our faith in daily obedience? That thought might make us uncomfortable, but we really ought to think about it. So the first aspect of the divine warning is the call to listen. The next aspect of the divine warning is the call to learn. This connects logically with the call to listen. If I have learned something only in theory with my mind, but I've never actually put it into practice, then I can't truly say I've learned it. During my high school years, I had a chemistry class where I memorized the periodic table of elements. Some of you probably did that too. And I had to be able to reproduce it for a test. Today, I can only remember a few of the elements on the chart, and I wouldn't know where to put them in their proper place. And most of them mean nothing to me. You see, I never truly learned chemistry. It didn't have practical application to my life and to my field of work. Much of our learning is accomplished through observation, and God, through the prophet Joel, is giving his wayward people an unforgettable object lesson in this locust invasion. And so Joel describes this locust invasion as being sent by God to help the people of Judah to move from simply hearing with the ears to actually hearing with their heart. This plague of locusts was an awful calamity in an agrarian culture. Now, depending on the source you check, there are anywhere from dozens to hundreds of kinds of locusts. They can fly up to 17 hours at a time. Swarms of locusts have been spotted 1,200 miles out at sea. And back in 1889, a swarm of locusts in the Red Sea covered 2,000 square miles. The density of a swarm of locusts can be as high as 120 million locusts per square mile. That's amazing. You may not have heard, but Africa and the Middle East experienced a significant locust plague not that long ago. It was actually in 2020, during the time of COVID-19. Now, if you ever experience something like this, do you think you would easily forget it? In our day of digital media, there are many photos and videos online that show the before and after effects of a locust invasion. And the devastation is incredible. Joel said that these locust hordes would come up over the land like an enemy nation. In fact, I believe this locust invasion was most likely a precursor to the actual invasion by Judah's enemies. What Joel seems to be describing is the four stages in the life cycle of the locust, and each stage wreaks its particular devastation, from the very beginning, the larva, all the way to the adult. In verse 6, the Lord says, referring to the locusts, "His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white." Now compare that scene of devastation with Micah chapter 4 and verse 4 describing the Lord's reign in Zion. Listen. "Everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid." So sitting under one's vine or fig tree is a symbol of ultimate peace, or we could say the true shalom. It's the description of God's original creation in Eden. Having those things wiped out, having them destroyed, speaks of total destruction. And so after this locust invasion, nothing would be left of the vegetation. Even the bark would be stripped from the trees. Then you can imagine what follows that. Loss of product to sell causes hyperinflation and the loss of trade. Living standards fall. Hunger and malnutrition grow. Diseases break out, and there's the potential that they wipe out the entire community. God, through the prophet Joel, is saying to his people, listen and learn. And then the final aspect of the divine warning is the call to lament. Beginning with verse 5, we have a call for three specific groups of people to engage in great mourning, great lamentation. The prophet uses very precise words to describe what this should look like. First, the drunkards are commanded to awake. No, not awake from sleep, but from their stupor, from their drunkenness. Because even in their inebriated state, they will not be able to ignore the reality of the damage that's been caused by the locusts. Further, they are told to weep and wail because the wine has been cut off. They will be shocked into sobriety when they realize that their binge has come to an end. And you know something? There are many things besides wine or alcoholic drinks that people are intoxicated with. Just a few of them are power and money, pleasure, sports, food, and the list could go on. To intoxicate means to excite or to stupefy, especially to the point where physical and mental control is markedly diminished. Intoxicate contains in it the word toxic. When something is toxic, it's poison. And that's the way the word was originally used. And so the drunkenness of these men was toxic to their relationship with the Lord. It had left them insensitive to their sin, and it had left them insensitive to the coming judgment. You know, I'm afraid far too many professing Christians today are intoxicated with the things of the world, and they're either unaware of their sin or they're in denial that it exists. Just like in Joel's time, a day of judgment is coming, and sobriety will come to people like that, like a bucket of ice water poured over one's head. The next group of people mentioned are the priests in verses 8 through 10. Joel uses the Hebrew idiom, lament like a virgin for the husband of her youth. Now this can mean either a very brief marriage, or perhaps more likely, that the bridegroom dies before the marriage can actually be consummated. Either way, it's a lamentation of the deepest and the bitterest kind. Instead of a beautiful wedding garment, the bride is instructed to put on rough and irritating sackcloth. And what's the reason for this grievous lament? The cutting off of the grain and drink offerings. Now, the grain offering was made from flour mixed with oil, and the drink offering, according to Numbers 15, was about a gallon or 4 liters of wine. And these two things were offered with the daily evening and morning sacrifices. So with the loss of all the resources, these sacrifices become impossible. With the ceasing of these offerings, there's no more remedy for sin. There's no place of fellowship with God. You see, this was the ultimate judgment. Grain, oil, and wine were the lifeblood of the ancient Jewish economy. So no sacrifices meant nothing for the priests to do, no work. temple worship came to a halt. Besides having nothing to do, the priests now had nothing to eat. Remember, they depended on the offerings of the people for the supply of their physical needs. Because the land had been stripped bare, the people had nothing to offer, and the priests went hungry. And then the final group of mourners are the farmers and vine dressers. They are called to turn pale with shame. Wheat and barley were the primary cereal grains, the most valuable commodities that were produced by the land. But grapes and olives were also highly valued. All of these had been devoured by the locust horde. Figs, dates, pomegranates, and apples are also mentioned. The failure of all these crops meant nothing to eat and nothing to sell. And so the specter of starvation rears its ugly head. No wonder, Joel says, joy withered away from the people. Now, as I said before, what Judah was facing had been foretold by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. There he rehearsed all the curses that God would send to his people if they failed to obey his commands. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 42, he said, quote, "Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land." God's word is filled with warnings for you and me too. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Numerous times he invites us to learn from the parables he used, and he reminds us too that if we fail to listen and learn, then we will indeed live to lament our failure. What warnings are the Word of God and the Spirit of God speaking to you? Are you remembering that there are consequences for not listening to Him? Are you learning the lessons God wants you to learn? I urge you to respond in obedience today so you can avoid the great grief that comes to those who ignore His commands. Don't ignore the divine warning. Thank you, choir. I like the way that song ties the words of Jesus together with the message of the prophet Joel. Obedience forestalls judgment. Were you blessed by today's teaching? If you'd like to review this teaching or share it with someone else, you can request a complete copy of this teaching either in print or a digital audio file. Ask for the teaching by its title, A Divine Warning. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866 9600292. And of course, you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request a digital or printed copy of this teaching, A Divine Warning. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now don't forget to join me next week for The Voice of Hope as we continue our new study in the book of Joel. And until we meet again, make this your testimony.
My faith looks out to
strength and dreams.